Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com are our two websites. I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman. Great broadcast today. We got somebody new that we've never had on. He's Alex Newman gave me his name, and we went back and forth. And basically, any friend of Alex is a friend of ours. And we're having him on. Pastor Paul Blair will be here. He's on hold. We'll get to him in a second. Later on, Wayne Elliott has been a frequent guest, of course, talking about his great products and also his business perspective on Canada and getting an inside look into what does COVID mean for them there and small business and his perspective. So Wayne is no lightweight when it comes to business and looking over the economics of this situation. So we'll spend a lot of time on that. And of course, information about the great products and so much more on the Power Hour. Uncle Kevin is riding shotgun. Good morning, Uncle Kevin.
Good morning. Another great day in America.
Absolutely, as it always is. And wherever you are across the world, where we obviously focus on America because that's most of our audience. But wherever you are, shortwave throughout the world, it's so good to have you. Let's get to a couple of news stories before we get to Paul. Go ahead.
All right. The Independent reports that a man was placed under psychiatric hold for 3 days while police seized his unregistered shotgun from his home.
Okay.
California man was thrown in a psychiatric hold for expressing concerns about the Bill Gates vaccine.
Okay, so the story, this is disturbing for a lot of reasons. But basically, he was talking to his family. He had told them that, that vaccine, that Bill Gates wants to chip you and track you, and I ain't getting it. That's basically what he told his family.
Yeah.
He went to buy, supposedly, the cop said, well, he went to buy ammunition. He's on probation for a old drunk driving probation thing or drinking and driving or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
Which that's unconstitutional. Yeah. You can't stop somebody from buying ammo because they supposedly, had one beer too many. I mean, I'm not condoning it. It's unconstitutional. It shall not be infringed. Anyway. The police got involved. They investigate. They got his family, and the guy was like, "Well, what do you mean? What is this America or what?" And they go, "Well, we'll show you America, buddy, and you can see it in the inside of a padded cell, and have you evaluated?
We're going to evaluate you. Yep."
And that sounds like a lot like Russia? Or Germany or Russia, certainly,
or the American court system.
Well, it's becoming that way.
Yeah,
and we're seeing that. Okay, other story quickly.
Which one?
Jim Willie. This is the big story. Talk about Jim Willie. What you heard, Jim Willie. Jim Willie is a pretty famous economist. Obviously, he's a gold and silver bug. But what he said, pretty interesting.
Yeah, he was talking about how the bank's liquidity is so tight, and they're going to have to make a decision of whether to do this or do that. And one of the things that the banks do is short the COMEX. To keep the control of the gold and the silver down. Well, according to Jim Willie, the banks are not going to lend.
They're so tight on liquidity. They're so short of money that one of the things they're going to have to cut is their silver manipulation operation, at least drastically cut it.
Yeah, they're going to have to prioritize. And from the word he was getting, no more shorting of the gold and silver. So that's the gold and silver is going to seek its own level. And he is predicting that within 2 months, gold will go to $3,000 an ounce, and silver should somewhere 35 to 40.
North of 30.
Yeah, north of 30.
Obviously,
and that makes perfect sense because they've been shorting it for years.
We don't want to do – we're not giving financial advice. Nope. So this is just information, and it's very interesting when you put it all together. We gave you the number of Mike here in Cape Girardeau. You can call and ask him any questions. I'll give the number again, 573-334-1108, 573-334-1108. Ask for Mike and tell him the Power Hour sent you. If you have any questions about silver and gold coins, I'm a big advocate of having something in your hand.
In your hand, yeah. You got to have it. If you don't have it in your hand, you don't have it.
If you don't hold it, you don't own it.
That's
the same. This is a very important story.
63,000 paper contracts were written on every ounce of silver?
Yeah, for every ounce. Pretty reliable, consistently saying there's upwards of 500 or more ounces in paper derivatives of actual silver.
Absolutely.
500 to 1.
Yeah. And if you don't own it, you don't have it.
Yeah, if you think you can get by ETF and hold it and then get your silver or get value when all push comes to shove.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Giuliani, you got a story about Giuliani. This is massive story.
Finally somebody's coming out and saying something. On Sunday, Rudy Giuliani dropped a bombshell on Dr. Fauci. Rudy scolded the NIAID director for granting $3.7 million to the Wuhan lab that leaked the coronavirus.
This gives a lot of credence, credibility to what Joel Skousen said. Was it yesterday? Joel was yesterday.
He was yesterday.
Talking about how, you know, it's illegal, quote unquote, I'm making air quotes right now, for the government to experiment with such bioweapons. So what did they do? Somehow they got channeled or whatever to this Chinese lab. Joel hinted that the deep state he didn't mention Fauci by name, but Giuliani is. Giuliani is now saying the same thing that Joel Skousen just said.
That he named him by name.
Giuliani is now basically saying the exact same thing Joel Skousen said yesterday.
Yes, absolutely.
That
and
3.7 million was funneled to this lab. Why in the world are we funneling almost $4 million to some lab in Batville, China? Batville, Wuhan, China.
Yeah.
Ask yourself that.
Because it's illegal. That's what you're doing here.
Well,
so they have to do it somewhere. So
If I was a betting man, if I had to guess, that's what I would guess.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you come to your own conclusion.
Yeah.
Common Core, huge article from Zero Hedge.
I saw that.
Obviously, it's been... Well, it's been more than 6 years, but for the last 6 years, pretty much everywhere in the country for 6 years, public schools or government schools have been teaching Common Core.
Yep.
Well, the test scores have come back and the scores are plummeting. Who didn't know that?
Yeah, who didn't know that?
Who didn't know that all these years ago? You teach people to try to add, you don't carry the one or stuff like that anymore, and all of a sudden they can't add? Wow, imagine that. That's crazy.
Yeah, two and two makes five.
Two and two makes four, but you got to make a box, and you got two people, and if they're holding hands, it's four, and if they're not, it's five. And if you guess three, but he worked hard, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry.
You'll
be okay.
You'll be okay. Don't worry about it.
You'll get a real good job down the road.
You'll get a check from the government, just like everybody else. And so now they can't add anymore. Their scores are literally plummeting.
Terrible.
Plummeting.
Terrible.
And this is... we got to get to our guest, but I'm going to say this one more time.
For
if you need another reason to get your children out of public school, here's another reason.
They're not learning anything.
Right. I've been in many arguments or discussions or heated discussions about schools with various people, including my relatives. And it all comes down at the end. Look, I really don't care what you say, and you can disagree about the social training. You can disagree about outcome-based education. You have no argument to tell me that the students are actually getting a good education, actually learning something.
No. They're learning to be good slaves and commies.
Well, that's another argument. But if you're talking about reading, writing, arithmetic, you cannot tell me that they are getting a good education. No. So so whatever your argument, wherever it comes from, you can come up with all kind of justification. Let's just start there, okay, and then work forward.
Yeah.
They're not getting educated, or they're getting programmed, or whatever. I mean, that's what I feel, but that's another story altogether.
Pull your kids out, do it.
Yeah, anyway, there you go. Anything else you want to say before we get to our first guest? He's a new guest. I'm really excited to have him on. Super nice guy.
Nothing good.
No. His name's Paul Blair. He has served as the senior pastor of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, not Edmonton, Alberta. Edmond, Oklahoma. He is also the founder and the president of Reclaiming Oklahoma for Christ. ReclaimingAmericaForChrist.org is the website. And founder of president of Protect Life and Marriage OK, meaning Oklahoma. He's a former football player. He even played in the NFL. I'm sure we'll get to that. We're very excited to have him on. Paul, welcome to the Power Hour.
Daniel, it is my privilege to be on, and quite frankly, I'm glad I've been on already. I've been taking notes. Good stuff.
Well, very good. Well, we've never had you on before. I've got a chance to meet you a little bit. Please tell our audience, they're probably anxious to get to know you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am now an old codger, 57 years of age. Edmond is a suburb of Oklahoma City. Born and raised here. I've lived here the majority of my life. I was a college football player, actually a star. Really was a good football player at Oklahoma State University under Jimmy Johnson that went on to win Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys. He was actually at Oklahoma State back in the early 80s. I was drafted by Mike Ditka, the Chicago Bears, played five seasons in the National Football League, and like most others, body just got torn up and went into private business, and then God called me into ministry at the age of 37. And I don't believe that pastoring is a job. I believe that that is the problem with most pastors, is we have too many guys worried about their career rather than being God called. I have great respect for pastors. My father was a bivocational pastor. I love them, but I never wanted to be one. But at the age of 37, realized that God was calling me in that direction. So I've been pastoring Fairview Baptist Church for the last 20 years. And work also across the country. I speak around the country. We've been doing a lot of work doing Liberty Pastors training conferences, focusing on apologetics and biblical worldview in the state of Florida this past year. So keeps us busy, but we're trying to see, hopefully, see what we can do to bring about another great awakening if God will grant us one.
I like that.
In the midst of all this, I wound up being diagnosed with throat cancer in January of 2019. Ooh. So had a had an interesting. It was definitely a full year. 2019 was a full year, but seemed to be doing well right now. I went through treatment at MD Anderson, plus taking a variety of other, the old wives' tale medicines. I figure it can't hurt me. I already had cancer. I'm not worried about getting cancer. So anyway, but I'm doing well right now. It looks whipped, and of course, I'm in the middle of in God's hands. I'm not going. Well, he's not going to call me home until my work's done. So.
Well, that's kind of a, I mean, we're not going to go there. I don't want to go into your cancer stuff, but that is kind of a ironic thing. The government, the FDA seems pretty heavy handed about these, natural or whatever cancer cures it. And some level, it's like they have cancer. They're dying. What does it matter?
Exactly.
You might as well let them try.
That's one of the things I have loved about the president with his right to try policy. I mean, if you already have a terminal condition, what possible harm can it do? And quite frankly, that's a foundation of personal property. Your most cherished personal property is your body. So you ought to be able to use some other treatment, especially if you've got a terminal condition. I have no idea why the government would interfere in something like that. That is insane.
Let me ask you a little bit about your playing career, football career. You were coached by two Hall of Fame coaches, Jimmy Johnson and Mike Ditka, a legendary, both of them, played for the Chicago Bears, legendary teams with Walter Payton. Tell us a little, what was it like playing for Jimmy Johnson? Did you know he was going to become a three-time champion coach? I mean, what was your feeling there?
I really did not. Honestly, you just kind of take what you've got for granted, and I guess we took Jimmy for granted. And quite frankly, he obviously was a good coach, and he had a great staff. If you look at the staff that he came to Oklahoma State with, there were three or four of those guys that went on to become head coaches, both in the NFL and in major colleges. So it was an incredible staff that he came in with, and he did a good job. But one of the things is he really just got. Honestly, he got lucky on a year of recruiting at Oklahoma State. He brought in a number of guys that, and me being one of them, that wound up not being highly sought after coming out of high school. We were those tweener players that guys with had potential, but the University of Alabama's and the big schools weren't going after. But he brought in there were several of us that he wound up hitting on, and several of us that were lightly recruited but wound up going on and playing in the National Football League. So, he wound up putting together some quality teams, and we had a pretty good team in 1983. We went 8-4, and our four losses were by a total of 12 points. So, I mean, when we lost to Oklahoma University by 1 point, and Nebraska by 3 points, something like that. But every game was a last possession game, and next thing you know, he's at the University of Miami, and of course went on to greatness there. So, we didn't really know how good he was, but he obviously turned out to be a Hall of Fame coach. Didn't care for him a lot, though. I'm going to tell you guys, he was a psychology major, and he was one of those guys. In fact, he's very open about this. He has a floating set of standards, and different guys were treated differently. If you were one of his boys, you could get away with murder. And if you weren't one of his boys, he might decide to make an example out of you, and you could, have a minor infraction and wind up incurring the death penalty, so to speak. So, yeah, he was an interesting guy to play for. Whereas, I loved Iron Mike. You know, Ditka just didn't have a lot of rules. You know, he had three rules. He said, be on time, pay attention, and play like hell. You know, he didn't care if you could, once you could run the 40 in, what you could bench press. You know, the whole thing was, can you line up with the guy across from you? So, I loved Ditka. He treated everybody the same. Didn't matter whether you were Walter Payton or Jim McMahon or me. I mean, there was one set of rules. There weren't a lot of them, but they applied to everybody. So, played for some Hall of Famers and played with some Hall of Famers. So, I was very fortunate in my athletic career.
What did you, I mean, we could talk hours just about, what was Walter like? What was this like? I mean, is there one thing that you took away from your experience, all your playing there? Really fortunate, sounds like.
Walter Payton was one of the kindest men that I've ever met. And, of course, being in Chicago at that time, the Cubs weren't any good, and Michael Jordan hadn't, the Bulls hadn't hit their run of championships. In fact, Michael Jordan was in our locker room for every home game. He was really good friends with one of our linebackers named Otis Wilson. But the Bears really owned the city. And Payton was the superstar of superstars. But for a guy that accomplished everything that he did in his athletic career and was perhaps one of the greatest football players to ever put pads on, he was such a humble, kind guy to be around. When I came in as a rookie, I mean, he's just a genuinely great individual. So it's encouraging to know that there are some superstars that have stayed grounded and that are out there that are really quality people. That's a good thing.
Well, let's talk about your pastorship, the things that you're working on there. I think we need pastors more than ever. We need churches more than ever. And what we need them to do is inject liberty into the people instead of rolling over and accepting things. We're losing our heritage. We're losing the foundation of our country, I believe. What is your perspective on all those things?
No doubt. As a matter of fact, you guys are probably familiar, but perhaps some in your audience aren't. If it wasn't for the pastors, we wouldn't have a country right now. The pastors that followed the Great Awakening generally a pastor was one of the most well-educated men in town. I mean, that day and age, generally only lawyers or pastors went to college. So pastors were savvy in most cases about civil government and the world around them, recognizing that it was God that established civil government. And if God established civil government and pastors were supposed to be experts on the Bible, then obviously you could conclude that pastors would be experts on what God's intent and purpose and limitations of civil government were. And, of course, these guys recognized tyranny. They had come out of established state churches in Europe, and they recognized the threat that was there if you lost your religious liberty. And, of course, the very first shots fired in the War for Independence were in churchyard. Pastor Jonas Clark with his chief deacon, John Parker, who was a veteran from the French and Indian Wars, that was largely a congregation that was largely his congregation, those 77 Minutemen that were in Lexington on April the 19th, 1775, that faced off against the British, and shots were fired for the first time. But initially, King George called our War for Independence a Presbyterian rebellion, because if not for the pastors, it wouldn't have happened. These guys not only taught about liberty, I mean, they taught, salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone, but then they taught a biblical worldview for how now we're supposed to live. And they recognized the danger of tyranny and how that affected how civil liberty and religious liberty went hand in hand. And they were on the front lines, both teaching it and in many cases going to war to defend it. So if it wasn't for the pastors, we wouldn't be here. And we need an awakening of pastors now, quite frankly.
We have about 2-3 minutes before the break. Okay. You were telling me, as we talked earlier this morning, what would you say to pastors who kind of are hands off about political things? The way you said that, I thought, was just beautiful.
Let me lay a foundation, then I'll say what I said to you. What part of your life is Jesus not the Lord of? The reality is we say that Jesus is Lord of all. And the Jewish perspective, well, there was no such thing as compartmentalizing your life. That was a Greek line of thought. The Jewish thought was, as Paul articulated, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And every pastor I know in America would answer this question, I think, the same way. If you ask them, you know, say, Pastor, what three institutions did God establish on planet Earth? Every pastor likely will say, God established the home, God established the church, and God established civil government. And then if you went on to ask them, say, Pastor, if you were giving someone counsel about their home and how it should operate, where would you go? And every pastor worth a salt would say, I'd go to the Bible. God established the family. We need to know God's will for it. And then if you ask those same pastors, you know, where do you get your ideas for church discipline and the function and organization of your church? Well, every pastor would say, well, I go to the Bible because God established the local church. And then you say, okay, Pastor, where do you go for your instruction on civil government? And then there's crickets. Or they'll say, I don't know, Fox News, MSNBC? No.
Oh my
if God established civil government, we should be searching the pages of Scripture for principles which God expects of proper civil government. At one time, John Pelfrey, who wrote a book called The History of New England back in the 1830s, said that the Puritans searched the pages of Scripture for principles that they can incorporate into their civil government. In fact, America is exceptional because of that biblical foundation upon which we were founded.
We'll get much more into this. We got about 30 seconds before the break. I got one website, reclaimamericaforchrist.org is one of your websites. You had another one you mentioned. I don't have it.
Yeah, libertypastors.com. We'll talk about what we've been doing, in particular in the state of Florida. We've been doing three-day training camps on worldview and apologetics. Have had great success with those, at all prior to this, you know, breakdown with the COVID-19 deal. But then I just say, go to fairviewbaptistedmond.org. Just go to fairviewbaptistedmond.org. You'll find there under a tab called Ministries, you'll find links to all of the ministries that we're involved in, including Reclaiming America for Christ, our Black Robe Regiment, and Liberty Pastors.
Fantastic. Pastor Cook, you know Pastor Cook about Black Robe Regiment? You know him also?
Yeah, I sure do. In fact, I talked to Bill yesterday.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I met him in Houston and stuff, so that's pretty good. You need to know Pastor Wright. You need to get to know him in Texas. That's another story. Well, maybe we'll hook you guys up. Stay tuned. More with Paul Blair on the other side. You're listening to the Power Hour. We're going to talk about the IRS and churches. You're going to learn something. I think you will. Stay tuned.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 Skin Lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
ThePowerMall.com. Don't forget your Stetzer meters. It's been a while since we had Dave on, but we've had a lot of information about EMF and stray electricity in your home and what have you. Stetzer meters, we have those at the Power Mall. They're really easy to use. It's actually fun to use. You get this little plug and a meter, and it has a number. So you know if this area is really high in EMF radiation. So you put the meter in, and then you watch it drop. It's really cool. And it makes an overall difference in a feeling in the house. You can actually feel, it's like a electrical fog gets lifted. Really. It really does. It's really cool. So check that out at the Power Mall, among other things. Of course, all the nutrients that you need, zinc, magnesium, the calcium, the, selenium. Did I just say selenium? Iodine. I'm leaving something out. The essential things for get your immune system bumped up, of course, multivitamin grown by nature, North American herb and spice, the oregano. That oregano, I haven't been taking it as much, and I took it the other day, and I took a little nap, I took the oregano, and I woke up, and I was like sweating, and like, wow, what's going on? And I realized the oregano's detox is killing things. And I hadn't used it in a while, so that oregano is one of the most, you know, I always say Strauss Heart Drops are the most profound product we've ever sold. Probably if I was going to say second, it may be the oregano. I don't know. It's probably in there with a couple other, but talk about life changing and what it can do and how powerful it is. The oregano. Check all those out and more at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Thank you so much for your support, ladies and gentlemen. Getting back to our guest, Paul Blair, a preacher, a pastor there in Fairview in Oklahoma, the outskirts of Oklahoma City. I want to ask you about the IRS. There's this 501c3. Of course, Johnson, he did a lot of things, but one of the things he did was getting churches that, oh, you guys sign up for this, you can get tax deductions, and this is a good deal for you, and then you'll be tax exempt. And the truth is all along, because of the First Amendment, that's one of the freedoms. Religion, the founders knew that religion, churches, were a part of society, an essential part, and that they needed to be separate from government and uncontrollable by government. And so for years, that's the way it was until, you know, the 20th century. What is your perspective on this? And tell a little bit about the kind of your involvement in getting this clarified through the IRS.
Well, you're exactly right, Daniel. The reality is we have allowed terms to be redefined. And, you know, the term separation of church and state, you know, that's not anywhere in the Constitution. As a matter of fact, quite the contrary. President Jefferson. He wrote a letter to the Danbury Baptists, and he put that in the letter. But the purpose was to protect the church from the state. I mean, at the time of our founding, 1776, Patricia Bonomi, who was a professor at the University of New York, did a study on the colonies. And it was her conclusion that 98% of the colonists were Protestant. So, I mean, America was almost 100%, or at least by profession. You can't see the person's heart. But we were almost 100% Christian. So that part was understood. But an established church was what they had in England, where the king was the head of the church. And if you spoke against the king, you ran the risk of being charged with treason and heresy and going to jail. So in our Constitution, you know, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion. There's no Church of the United States, and everybody is required to be a member of it. So that's what, you know, the Establishment Clause is referencing. But Christians and Christianity was everywhere. As a matter of fact, they held preaching services, churches conducted services in the United States Capitol for the first 150 years or so of our existence. You know, they opened Congress in prayer. The very first meeting of the First Continental Congress in September 7th, 1774, the first time all these guys had met each other when they came together to discuss what they were going to do about these intolerable acts that were being poured out on the colonies by Great Britain, they called for a local pastor to lead in prayer. And John Adams said they had an extensive prayer meeting and Bible study that morning all together. So, I mean, obviously, there was never any thought of keeping Christianity out of politics. The whole idea was making sure that the state did not control the church. Now, as you alluded, the whole idea of the 501c3 came from when Johnson was a senator, and he was being attacked by some very conservative PACs. So he orchestrated legislation that would basically go after those PACs. But churches, although we are considered by the IRS to be 501c3, churches are a separate category. Churches are immune from taxation. As a matter of fact, I was one of the original 33 pastors that worked with ADF in 2008 to challenge that fantasy. And we preached sermons. We made political endorsements about the presidential election in 2008. Then we sent copies of our sermons to the IRS to report ourselves, saying, listen, if we've broken any laws, we need to know about it. Here it is. I made an endorsement. I recommended so-and-so for president. So, come and arrest me. We never heard a word out of it. And that movement actually grew until in 2012, there were some 1,400 pastors that were participating, and the IRS actually came out and admitted that they do not grant churches tax exemption. Churches are naturally immune from taxation because the power to tax is the power to control and the power to kill, and the government cannot control or kill the church. And the honest fact is that every member of a local congregation are taxpayers anyway. So there's no reason to tax the church other than just for the idea of controlling it. So churches do not have to follow certain guidelines. Churches can talk about politics. As a matter of fact, Daniel, think about it. Think how many liberal churches have Democrat candidates come through and speak in their churches every campaign season. Nobody raises an eyebrow about that. But as soon as you have a conservative that has a conservative candidate in their church, then all of a sudden you've got Barry Lynn from the Americans for the Separation of Church and State, you know, writing you threatening letters. But it is all make-believe. Churches do not have to receive the tax exemption. Churches do not even have to be 501c3. Churches don't have to file that unless they want to. But because churches are, because they are churches, immune from taxation and hence immune from control.
So you got a, does the IRS put out a letter designation making this clear, or explain that again?
No, they actually came out in an article They published a paper in 2012 and made that statement. As a matter of fact, my good friend Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel, which is a Christian legal defense group out of Orlando, Matt was active in that and has, I'm sure you can find that on the Liberty Counsel website. But no, in 2012, the IRS actually came out and admitted in a statement that they do not grant churches tax exemptions. Churches are naturally exempt or immune, actually is the word, immune from taxation. So but here's the sad news. Most pastors don't want to know that. Most pastors love the idea to use 501c3 as an excuse to not be controversial and risk a division within their church. So the truth of the matter is, Daniel, we have proven that that is a crock, but most pastors prefer to adhere to it anyway because it makes their lives simpler, so they think.
I have been, like you, I'm sure, and like most of our audience, I've been aghast watching the last couple months of how quickly we seem to be willing to give away our rights and to succumb and to comply with whatever the government says. I mean, one of the most American ideals is don't trust the government, not just British government. It's just don't trust the government. And this idea always keep them at arm's length and that they're not your friend and that they're, you know, what is it, the fearful servant and the awful master or something George Washington said, like fire, you know, they're comparing them to fire.
Right,
I had a discussion. I was in an interview. I got interviewed last night on a show. And the listener, maybe they're listening right now. I couldn't remember his name. I think it was Ariel was the guy's name, I think. And he challenged me because one of the things I say repeatedly is how important the Declaration of Independence is, how important the Bill of Rights are, that those two together, the Declaration of Independence being the charter of our country, the Bill of Rights kind of being the keystone kind of to protect those rights and to secure us in our position. I have been adamant upon adamant that the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, really the whole concept of it, but particularly that second paragraph written by Thomas Jefferson originally, that you could print that up with the Bill of Rights, you could fold it up and put it in your Bible and it belongs there. That's just as important as probably 80 or 90% of it. It's so important. It's so worthy of our spiritual guidance from it, and also it is greater than our life. So if things are divine, that means they're greater than our life here on earth. Well, to me, the Declaration of Independence is worth more than my life, and that's what our founders thought also. So there, therefore, it gets into the divine realm, and so it's just as important. Am I a heretic? Because he called me a heretic on the radio. Am I a heretic for thinking this?
The Declaration is our nation's birth certificate. It is our mission statement. It is our statement of faith. And it is very scriptural. Quite frankly, Jefferson, of course, he was part of the Committee of Five, and he was charged with being the primary penman, but don't think for a second that that wasn't a group effort. And there was a lot of debate as far as the final version. But that was he claimed authority was given to them to secede from a tyrannical government, and that authority was given to them by God. They said that the laws of nature and nature's God gave them the right to secede from a tyrannical government because they had a complete biblical worldview. They believed that the purpose of government was not to tyrannize and threaten and lord over its citizens, but the purpose of government was for the good of mankind. And they very publicly, in many of their sermons, say when a king becomes a tyrant, he ceases to be the king and therefore has no authority over them. And the king is bound by the Constitution. He does not have unlimited rights. By the way, that's exactly the way God had set up Israel in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, long before Israel ever asked for a king, God gave them instructions for what they should do when they did. And that king, before he took his throne, was to take a copy of the law. That was the Constitution of Israel, the Torah. And he was to write it out, and it says that he was to make decisions limited by that Constitution on a daily basis. In fact, the Scripture uses the term, he wasn't allowed to turn to his left or turn to his right. In other words, he was limited or bound by what the law enabled him to do. So the idea that America was unique because we were birthed on biblical principles, which were articulated in the Declaration of Independence, is a true statement. And the purpose of civil government The whole purpose of civil government, the primary purpose is not to build roads and bridges and highways and schools and things of that nature. The primary purpose of civil government is to secure our unalienable rights. That means that we have rights as God's creation, which cannot be taken away. And those rights include the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to the pursuit of happiness. Now, that term, pursuit of happiness, was actually defined by an expert on the law named William Blackstone. He was a member of parliament and a judge, and he wrote a four-volume set of commentaries called Blackstone's Commentaries on Law. He was a devout Christian, and he defined the pursuit of happiness as basically everything that God has intended for us to have within his will. So the right to own property, the right to buy and sell, the right to do business as unto the Lord, the right to have a family, and of course the definition of a family is one man and one woman, the right to worship God in spirit and in truth. All of these things would be included in the unalienable right to pursue our own true and substantial happiness, which is how Blackstone defined it. And Blackstone said that man, being a created being, cannot be happy unless he is walking in the will of his creator. So that's the pursuit of happiness. So, no, you're exactly right. Now, I wouldn't say that the Declaration is scripture, but the Declaration is absolutely based upon scriptural truths. So, and I agree with you. And that's why it is so saturated with spirituality. Of course, the Constitution doesn't have to be, because the Constitution is basically our operation manual. You know, the Declaration is our mission statement, our birth certificate, and our reason for being. And the Constitution is the how-tos, as the states came together in 1787, decided to improve or attempt to improve the Articles of Confederation, and in order to form a more perfect union, they created the Constitution, defining the three branches, delegating limited responsibilities to it, and basically saying with the Bill of Rights, here's 10 things in case anybody falls asleep that you absolutely cannot do. The government cannot do. The government cannot do. The government cannot do. So that is the foundation of those two documents.
I have this discussion with people, and I don't know if it shocks them for me to say that. I mean, maybe I'm saying it a little too dramatically when I talk about this, but I want people to understand. One, I'm not degrading the Bible at all. I'm just elevating the Declaration of Independence to understand what the impact of your life is. I mean, what is the value of the Bible?
Right.
If you're going to say, what is the Bible value of the Bible? It's the Word of God and leads you to salvation. It leads you to happiness. That would be the value of the Bible, I would say, right? It's a history, and it leads you to salvation, Word of God.
Yeah, history, prophecy, God's love letter, it's the Word of God, absolutely.
There you go.
It's everything that God has given to us that he says we need to know.
Okay, so what is the Declaration of Independence but your blueprint to your temporal salvation and temporal security ordained by godly principles and by God?
I mean, absolutely. It was that group of men living in the colonies in 1776 that based upon natural law, God's law, and
yeah, self-evident.
Upon biblical truth.
It's self-evident. I mean, they say
exactly,
the word self-evident.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even worth arguing about.
Understand, there's a reason. And here, let me just say this, and this probably won't stir up controversy in your audience, but it will among some. There's a reason that George Washington could place his hand on the Bible to take his oath of office when he swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States, because the Constitution of the United States was not in violation of the Bible,
wow,
but it was consistent with
wow.
the truths of the Bible. However,
that is powerful.
You cannot put your hand on the Quran and swear to
wow.
uphold the Constitution, because the Quran itself is a constitution.
That is powerful, what you just said. I've done quite a bit of research. C. Bradley Thompson wrote a book. I usually keep it here with me. I don't know where it is. But it's America's Revolutionary Mind is the name of the book. And he goes and he talks about, you know, Adams and Jefferson, they disagree on some things, but on some things they were like completely in unison. They
sure.
were, if I was going to characterize it, they kind of were the mind of the American ideal. They were kind of the genesis. If you were going to put it on two people, I would put it on those two. They were discussing the people that influenced them. John Locke, Isaac Newton, and Sir Francis Bacon, the writings of Shakespeare. Those were the three most influential people to them. Not only that, it's probably the Bible, Shakespeare's writings, and I can't remember the other book, were the most influential writings to, like, farmers, to Americans in general. Mm-hmm. And they theorized, why is Isaac Newton important? Isaac Newton was important because he came up with the concept that you can observe the world by experiment and come up with a truth. You know, as simple as that sounds today, it wasn't simple to Isaac Newton's time. And because you had the Catholic Church, they didn't like the Catholic Church at all. Most of the colonies wouldn't even let the Catholic Church come in because it came up a oppressive political institution. So anyway, Isaac Newton, I really am getting somewhere, Pastor, I promise. Isaac Newton taught them that you can learn truth, you can discover truth. John Locke theorized about our beginnings and our creation and our place in nature. So they theorized, okay, if we're put here, let's say there's nobody here and man, I'm placed here and man. Okay, I'm placed here. Obviously, I'm created. I owe something to my creator. This is simple. I mean, it's not even an argument. Self-evident. So I'm here. If I look at property, so this is why property rights are so important to the founders and the Declaration, and what we're seeing government doing today is such sin. Because if God gave me dominion, so this merges with the Bible, natural law is backs up the Bible. It's obviously that the Creator wants me to have dominion because he placed me here and gave me dominion. So I have the ability to come over here, so obviously he gave me dominion. So now I have to take care of myself. So government can't take care of me. So the idea of socialism and that concept is a total foreign concept to natural law. So I have to be able to take care of myself. So what can I do? I have to be able to use my unalienable rights. These rights, these endowments that I've been given, some sort of endowment, some sort of intelligence, I have to sustain life, be able to use those to benefit my life and to enhance my life and to secure my existence. To them, this isn't even a religious discussion anymore. This is a scientific discussion to the point where this is self-evident that your rights come from your creator. You have the ability. Now, property, I'm looking at this land here. There may be some trees on it, but it has no value whatsoever until I use the intellect and the endowment of my creator to then benefit and to help this piece of property to bear fruit. I got to go pick it. I got to go, you know, weed it. I got to go plant garden, whatever. God gave me that ability. So the property has no value unless I give it value. So the property, your property right, is now an extension of your endowment from God. This is the writings of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. This is how far they went with this and how self-evident this is. And so when people say, oh, the Declaration of Independence is not as important as the Bible, I'm like, what are you talking about? It is the Bible. It is your endowment. It keeps you in your position to who you are. Everything we're seeing in this world by the government, what do you think they're doing? The Declaration of Independence is the hedge so that they can't get to the Bible. You know, look, go to China. You can't have a Bible. Why can you not have a Bible in China? Because they don't have a Declaration of Independence. We have a Declaration of Independence that gives us a wall to protect us so we can have a Bible. Do you see? That's why it's so freaking important. Anyway, I'm on my soapbox. React to any of that, Pastor. Go ahead.
No, you're right, Daniel. Well, America was founded on a truth claim. Truth is not arbitrary. Truth is not up for a vote.
Right.
Truth is truth, and there's only one truth, and that is God's truth. Well, now we say, well, how many genders are there? Well, obviously there's two, but unless you let modernists come up, you deny God, then you come up with 57. But, you know, America was established on biblical worldview. You know, that's why when Jefferson stated that they had the authority to secede from Great Britain's tyranny was given them by God. It was the laws of nature, nature's God. And whenever any government becomes threatening to your unalienable rights, you have the right to alter it, abolish it, or throw off and form new government. That's exactly what they did with the Declaration of Independence. So you're right. I mean, the foundation of America, the reason that we have been as profitable as we have been, because at least at our out. Now, by the way, we've never been perfect. Obviously, never been perfect. We've made mistakes from day one. Anytime you get man involved, we'll figure out a way to screw it up. But America was the principles of America. The principles of our foundation were based upon absolute truth. That is, the laws of nature, nature's God. So I agree wholeheartedly with that.
We got a couple minutes before the end of the interview. This has gone way too quick. I hope you come back, Pastor. I hope you come back.
Let me throw one thing out that I think is important, because one thing we teach pastors is apologetics. That's the factuality of our faith. You know, I'm not a Christian because I feel like becoming a Christian. I'm a Christian because the tomb actually was empty. Jesus rose from the dead. Now I've got a choice. I can either bend my knee and cry out, Lord, or I can say, I'll shake my fist at him and say, I don't want any of it. But so apologetics, the facts of our faith, and then also a biblical worldview. A very easy way to understand biblical worldview is understand that God divided our government into four realms, and we have to put the responsibility into the proper realm. We have the realm of self-government, we have the realm of family government, we have the realm of church government, and we have the realm of civil government. What Marx did is did away with self-government, church government, family, and all that's left is a real strong state to take care of everything. Well, that's not biblical. You know, from a biblical worldview, I have a lot of personal responsibilities. It's up to me to decide whether I want to exercise or not. However, I am also the sole person responsible for the consequences of my decision. Education. God didn't give that to the state. That was given to mom and dad. Moms and dads were to oversee, to train up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the church was given the realm of charity. It's not up to the civil government to take from those that are producing to give to those that refuse to work. That realm of responsibility was entrusted to the church. Civil government has a small responsibility to punish evildoers and to protect the well-doers that we may live peaceably in all godliness. That is, if you remember those four fundamentals, you can easily attain a biblical worldview.
Paul Blair, there you go. I mean, what a fantastic, check out his church, Fairview Baptist there in Oklahoma. One word that pastors need to inject in their people, conviction. We need conviction now, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Wayne Elliott on the other side. Thank you so much, Paul.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.